Today we have special guests with us. We'd like to introduce them. For some of you, they are new to us, and for some, they are family. And we are so grateful to have Steve and Lori Albright all the way from West Africa via Fort Myers area. They came, contacted us, said, we'd love to share. We said, yes, we'd love to have you. And so we're going to show a short video, and then they're going to come and share. So God bless you both as you minister to us today.
God led my family overseas to Guinea, West Africa. It hasn't always been an easy place to live. There are many seasons where we've been discouraged and struggling and seeking, God, why do you have us in this place? But God has always shown us that he is at work, and it's so encouraging to us to see how he's moving in our neighborhood, among those that we interact with. We've started with a church planting team, and now we're with a development team with Kama. And it's just been encouraging for us as a family to see that as we follow where he's leading us, that he is always using us. Lives are being transformed. People that are starving are finding resources to be able to eat and provide for their families. We just find so much joy in knowing that God has gifted us in unique ways that don't necessarily always fit into a certain box. But he is using us in such cool ways to further his kingdom in a dark place. One of my biggest struggles in surrendering to God and being willing to go to a place like Guinea is my three children. They are ages 10, 8, and 4. Guinea is a country that lacks a lot of resources, and so there aren't a lot of schooling options. Healthcare, there just isn't much healthcare at all for our children. If something happens, we don't have a backup. We have seen time and time again how he has provided in times of need, in times of crisis. One time we were driving through a riot on the way home from an airport at night, and our car was being shaken and the windows were being banged on by youth in the city, and we were terrified. In God's mercy, he allowed our three children to stay asleep in the back of the car, and they were fine and unaware of the danger that they were in. Another time, robbers entered our home in the middle of the night. We never even were aware of it, but our children were on one side of the house, and we as their parents were on the other, and those robbers were in the middle, and Jesus was there to protect our children. Our kids have dealt with so much sickness and illness. We have had some traumatic experience trying to seek out what is wrong, what is the problem, so that we know how to possibly treat it, or do we evacuate to another country? In those scary, terrifying moments, God has stepped in and brought a peace to our heart. He has provided healing for our children when no healing seemed possible, and he has just provided ways that we are able to find his peace in those times. My best friend, we will call her Mariam, I met her several years ago. She had lived her whole life without hope. As we drew closer in friendship with one another, I had the privilege to hear a lot of her story. When she was about 13, her father died, and she was one of many siblings. Her mother had no way to provide for her, so she married her off to a man that was a few years older than her. She has a decent marriage, yet she still realized that she was going to wake up every day and raise her five children with the only hope of getting them off to school and preparing their food for the day and see if there was any money for food for the next day. And so she just worked and worked every day, washing their clothes, preparing their food, with no hope for anything more in life. By us being present, she was able to see how just by making some small changes and by realizing her potential in the ways that God had gifted her, she is an open door to the community. So many around her come to her. If their child is sick, they will come to her door and ask her how to help them. But she didn't know how to help them. And so by teaching her basic principles, basic ways that we care for our children, she was able to follow some opportunities that came before her to work in a local clinic. And now she has hope. But it doesn't stop there. I was able to learn a prayer of healing in Jesus' name in the local language. And so we would often pray together. And I truly believe that those were seeds that were planted over and over as she heard and she saw me praying in Jesus' name over these very sick children. They heard the name of Jesus, and she heard the name of Jesus. Shortly before we left that town to go on our home assignment in the U.S., I was able to sit with her, and she was crying, and it was a very hard, sad conversation. She said, "You're leaving, and you were my hope." And I said, "We're not your hope." I said, "The reason that we are here is because God has given us hope in Jesus." And I was able to share the gospel with her. I was able to pray over her when she agreed to let me do that, and I was able to give her a New Testament. So I was able to encourage her that when she is discouraged, she can reach out to me and I can help her find places to read in that New Testament. I was just so thankful for the chance to share with her what God has done in my life and the reason that He has us in that place. And my prayer is that one day she will then be not only sharing those gifts of healthcare and encouragement with those around her, but that she will also be sharing the hope that Jesus has given her and that she has embraced with her whole life. As God now leads us into a new region of Guinea that we have never been before, we don't know the community well, we don't even have a home that we're going back to yet. We are going to be learning a new language. Our kids will have some schooling option that we're not aware of yet. But we are able to step into that with faith and with confidence, knowing that as God has called us to make these sacrifices, as He has said, "I am calling you as a family to go into Guinea and be light bearers for the gospel." We are placing our trust in Him, knowing that He is going to provide for all of those needs, that He is going to open the doors, and that He is going to continue leading us. So I encourage you to step out in faith and also ask Him what sacrifices He is asking you to make.
Stephen and I are so grateful to be here with you today. Thank you for the opportunity to share what Jesus is doing in Guinea. As Pastor Ted mentioned, we've been in Guinea for 29 years. We serve with CAMA Services, which is the relief and development arm of the Alliance. The young lady who just shared on the video is Chelsea Anderson. She's one of our team members. She and her family and all of our team members will be moving to a new location when we return to Guinea at the end of May. It's a hard place. It's 99.9% Muslim. We are so grateful to be here today, primarily because we want to raise prayer support for our team. Chelsea highlighted some of the challenges of living over there, education, medical, and just so many other things. Our team will have a development project with the goal of developing relationships that will bear the weight of the gospel. We want to work alongside people as they farm and have the opportunities to share Jesus with them. We would love to have you sign up to receive our prayer updates. You can do that one of two ways. You can take our prayer card and email us, and we will add you to our list. Our email address is on the back. Or we have a sign-up list right beside our table in the back, and we'd love for you to sign up to receive our prayer updates. Thank you.
Good morning. I don't know if you see the family resemblance, but I have an aunt here. I'm not sure if she likes me calling her aunt. She's only 10 years older than I am, but I feel you are older than I am. But it is a privilege to be here, and we thank you for this opportunity. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to see and hear and to know that you love people, and that you love to teach them about yourself and about your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that as we listen, that your Spirit would speak to us. Your Spirit would show us the things that you want us to know. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Lori and I have a very special event coming up in May. Our sixth grandchild will be born, and makes us not only feel older, but pretty excited. You know, it's fun to have grandkids, isn't it? It's the reason why we have kids, right, is to have grandkids. But as this new grandchild will come into the world, one of the things that we realize is that while it is waiting to make its entrance into the world, we're told that it's a baby girl, While she is in her mother's womb, my daughter, she's learning even right now as we speak. Before she comes out into this cruel world where she will have to learn some more things, right? We all don't have a choice. We come into this world and we begin to learn things that make us into the person that we are today, whether we like it or not. In fact, you could say that the moment we are conceived, we enter into a school. We enter into a learning time, and we never stop learning. We never stop learning. And it's because of that that we have so many problems today. Because all of us, whether we like it or not, have entered into what we would call the non-kingdom school. That is, not the kingdom of God school. And in that school, when you and I start our life, even before we come into the world, we begin to learn about this world through so many different ways, right? So many things affect us. And depending on where you live in the world, you learn all kinds of things. Here in America, we learn things that people in Africa don't learn, and in Asia, and those types of places. In Africa, it's a very interesting place to grow up. I grew up out there. I was born and raised in Africa. And so I've had certain experiences that a lot of Africans, a lot of people that live in Africa experience. But I don't really have most of their experiences. And it's interesting, in these past few years, as Lori and I have been blessed with speaking at various conferences about deeper issues of the soul, we've learned things that they have learned that are pretty incredible, actually pretty scary. We've learned that people in Africa are afraid most of the time. And so being afraid most of the time, you have to find a way to not be afraid, right? Here in America, we deal with our fear, and we're very fearful people. Not sure you believe that, but we're very fearful people. You think about just a couple of years, we had this thing called COVID come out, right? And that showed a lot of fears that we have. In America, we have this thing that if it's not 100% sure, we get a little bit anxious about that, right? In Africa, there's never 100% sure. And so you're always trying to find out, how can I protect myself? And so in that world, there's a lot of practices that help people to stop being afraid. And so we, rather than going to the one that we're supposed to be afraid of, God, because there is not a relationship with that God, from a very early age, people learn that in order to be protected, you must go and find protection. And a lot of that protection comes through witch doctors. And so you'll go and you'll spend lots of money. So when the baby is born, you'll say to the witch doctor, I have a baby that's being born, so I would like you to give me some protection. And so they'll agree on a price, and whatever that price is, it might be a chicken, it might be some money, it might be something else. But in that process, the witch doctor will do all the things that witch doctors do and probably give them an amulet or something to put on the baby to protect the baby. Well, you and I know that Satan doesn't fight Satan, right? So it's fascinating that in this world of Africa that we use Satan to protect the baby against Satan. Well, Satan loves that because he doesn't care. I mean, he loves the fact that people will actually do these things to protect them against him when he's the one that is actually providing the protection. You know, like the fox guarding the hen house. Fox loves it. And so in that world, you can imagine that people learn all about fear. And it's a terrifying world. Often people have a hard time going to sleep at night because they're deathly afraid that in their sleep they will dream demonic dreams. Not just any nightmare, as you may think about them, but intensely demonic, sexualized dreams that will wake them up. And these are things that are common, everyday types of things. It's a world where they learn that it is not a safe place. So when the good news of the kingdom of Jesus comes into that place, it offers hope that they've never heard before. And I want to tell you three stories of that hope that has come into the lives of just three people that we've worked with these past couple years, and to see how Jesus brings that hope. We know that the good news of the kingdom is very important. In fact, when Jesus comes on the scene after his cousin John the Baptist announces for the first time the good news that the kingdom of heaven is available, we just need to repent. We need to change our mind about those things. Jesus comes and he announces that as well. And another occasion in Matthew chapter 11, he restates the good news of this kingdom in words that are very striking when you think about the world that we live in today. The world that we live in today is a frightening place. And we're searching for so many different ways to take away that which makes us afraid, that gives us anxiety, that gives us a deep fear. But the good news that Jesus brings us is that no matter what we're afraid of, no matter what's happening in our lives, his offer is that he wants to teach us a different way. And so in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, we read this. Jesus is speaking to the world, the people that are around him, and he offers these words of hope. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. What does that do to your soul when you hear Jesus saying, "I will give you rest"? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is saying to us here is that the school that you've been attending all of your life, there's an alternative school that you can come to now. A school where you learn rest for your soul from the one who is rest, who is peace, who is gentle, who is lowly and humble in heart. What an offer. Somebody once said, "How would you describe Jesus if you just had one word to describe him?" He said, "This is the way I would describe him. Jesus is relaxed." Jesus was never in a hurry. Jesus was busy. I mean, he got tired at the end of the day, wasn't he? But he went through his life because he only did what he learned from his father. And he led his life, in both action and in word, he only did what he learned from his father. And Jesus comes into our world and he offers us the same thing. He says, you can come into a special kind of relationship with me and I will teach you. I will teach you to live this life of rest. Well, you can imagine in a world like Africa, those words are so special. So I want to talk to you about two Henochs. And in sandwich in between the two Henochs, I'm going to talk about Aminata. The first Henoch that I work with is a man that works with the Department of Prayer in the CMA-related church there. Now, this Henoch, he's a big dude, very, very stout. And if I had a word for him, I would say he's a demon slayer, right? He does deliverances on people that are demonized. So as we were gathered together at one time, not too long ago, we wanted to go deeper with Jesus and talk about these things, about how Jesus can give you rest for your soul. Go into a deeper type of intimacy with Jesus. And so as part of the training, we brought leaders up to be trained, to be helped in front of all of their non-leaders, right? So this was kind of intimidating. Be like saying, okay, Pastor, we want you and all of your staff to come up here, and we're going to expose all of your stuff and help you to walk through that so that not only you are helped, but the rest of the people in the audience are also going to learn. Well, that's a pretty vulnerable place for a leader to be in, right? So this is what we invited Henoch to come up to and come up in front, and then I would walk them through a time of just prayerful reflection with them concerning a deep need that they had in them, and have Jesus bring that solution to them. Pretty intimidating, right? But he came up humbly. And this person, the Henoch, he, you know, I said he was a demon slayer. I said, Henoch, would you tell us what is your problem? What is the biggest thing that's on your heart today? He says, I'm afraid. I said, what? You? I said, what are you afraid of? He says, I'm afraid of demons. So wait a second, you, the one that does all of these deliverances, you're afraid of demons? He says, yeah. He says, I'm not afraid of when I'm in a deliverance session and I deliver people from the demon. And he has an amazing ministry that way. He says, but what I'm afraid of is the demons that I don't see. And when there's a sudden noise behind me, there's a surprise. My heart just leaps, and I almost have a heart attack. Well, the people that are out here in the audience are just snickering because they're saying they just can't believe that this is what his problem is. But he was dead serious. He was dead serious that he was afraid. So I said, Henoch, explain to me what this looks like. Why are you afraid? He says, well, when I was a little kid, my parents, who were Christians, taught me that as I'm walking along in the forest, that you should be very careful because you don't know where the evil spirits are. And so I grew up with this tremendous fear of the unknown and that somehow I would be attacked by the evil spirits. You see, Henoch had gone to this school all of his life. And even though he had learned that he had authority in the name of Jesus to kick out evil spirits, he was afraid of them. So I asked him this question. Henoch, do you feel like you could ever not be afraid of that? I said, do you think that Jesus could heal you of that? He looked at me, if I'm going to be honest with you, even though I would love for that to happen, I would have to say, I don't think that could happen. I said, really? You've seen what Jesus does. You set people free from those things that you're afraid of. You're saying to me that you don't think Jesus could heal you from that. He said, if I'm really honest with you, no, I don't think that could happen. I said, wow. Good test case, right, Pastor? Right up there in front. How are we going to deal with this? And so we sat with Enoch and we prayed with him and we walked him through, in a sense, a deliverance of his own to deal with the way that he had learned that this enemy was bigger than the true God. And as he repented from that, and as he cut off his belief that these were stronger than Jesus, it was late at night and he went to bed. About 1:30 that night, he woke up. And he realized as he woke up that all that fear that he had gone away. All gone away. And he said, well, wait, I'll just wait a second and see if it comes back. He says, nope, I'm not going to do that. And in the morning when we got together again and came back together, he testified in front of all of us that Jesus had healed him from that fear. What are you afraid of? There's a lot of things to be afraid of in this world. But we can learn from Jesus not to be afraid. We can learn from him. He will teach us. He offers us a school unlike any other school. It's a private education. And not only is it private, it is a private and personal to you only school. And the only invitation he gives you is that you have to acknowledge that you need it. That you have this burden that is so hard and you've learned all of your life. And you think that it will never go away. And Jesus says, I can take care of that. I can teach you a different way. And I can teach you not to be afraid anymore. And that invitation is to all of us. But we need to decide to go to his school. You see, we don't have a choice about going to school every day. We just have a choice of which school we'll go to. And Jesus offers us that when we get up in the morning, we say no to that other school. No to me. No to the things that I've learned all of my life. No to my flesh. Deny that and say, no, Jesus, I want to go to your school. I'm going to pick up your cross. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to learn from you how to live that life. It's the only way. It's the only way that we can actually go and have hope. Second story I want to talk about is a girl, I'll call her Aminata. It's not a real name. And Aminata had come to one of our conferences. She's a Fulani girl. And she had been invited because she was having some demonic issues. And she was not a believer. And as we were walking through various discipleship teaching and doing some things that we call soul care, the day before we were going to go into a time of helping people that had demonization problems. She had gone out of the room, and as she was meeting with somebody, she was starting to go into a fit because the man that was there was talking about Jesus, and being that she was demonized, she started to go into a demonic fit because the demons don't like Jesus. They don't like his name. And so she actually fell on the floor screaming and just churning around and realized, wow, she has some problems. She's going to need some help, right? So the next day, my wife, Lori, and another missionary were meeting with her. And after a while, they called me over. And we led her to Jesus first, right? She wasn't a believer. And so we led her to Jesus. And she firmly made a decision to become a Jesus follower right there. But you see, Aminata had some problems, and the reason why she was demonized was because she had been forced into a life that was not of her own choosing. When she was 8 years old, an uncle of hers, wanting special power, spiritual power, special power in getting things that he wanted out of life, was told by the witch doctor that you need to come with the blood of a virgin. And so he raped her, took her blood, and enslaved her to the demons. That sounds incredibly weird and impossible in the world that we have here. But this is a common occurrence in the rest of the world. And Aminata began and grew up in a world where she was heavily demonized. So you could imagine the world that she was in. And so as we came time now, and she gave her life to Jesus, we then took her time to a time of deliverance where we cut off all of the legal rights that the demons that were in her had on her. And as we commanded the demons that they could not throw her on the ground, which they had done the day before, they were trying their best to not get kicked out. Because demons don't like to not have a body to be in. And as we spoke to the demons, she began to have a fit. And even though she wasn't able to be thrown on the ground because we had said in Jesus' name, you're not allowed to do that, she was just having a fit. And I sensed that the Holy Spirit said to me to tell the demon, she has divorced you. Because the demon had married her in her dreams. And as soon as I said, demon, you have to leave, she's divorced you, immediately it left. And it let her go. Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. You can imagine in a world like that how much know that there is not that kind of rest. Folks, we live in a world that is desperately in need of that rest. And I can assure you that here in America, Satan is alive and well. And we need to help people find that rest. Aminata found the rest that day because she learned that Jesus, see, I have no magic. You and I have no magic. All we have is Jesus. And Jesus is enough. Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, the enemy has to flee. He's the only one that can teach us true rest for our souls. He's the biggest guy in the room. There are no bigger ones. He has all authority. He has all power on earth and in heaven. There's no one that can stand up to him. We would be wise to consider what are the things that we think are bigger than Jesus in our life today. So many idols that we bow down to out of fear, out of anxiety, out of wondering if I'm going to have enough. And so we do anything, we sell our souls to those things. But Jesus is the good news. And he offers us to learn from his school. A school that if we come to him every day, he will teach us to become like him. He will teach us to have rest for our souls. So I want to finish with the final story about a second Enoch. And it was at the same time, place that the first Enoch was. And this Enoch, both of them are a part of the prayer movement, the College of Prayer in the CMA church there in Guinea. This Enoch, when he came forward and for us to deal with his issues, he said, I have an anger problem. I get very angry. And even though God has been dealing with me, I just sense and I have this deep, deep anger in me. And he said, I want to be free of that. I want to be free. And he said, not only that, I feel like this anger has blocked me from sensing and knowing the love of God. And as we talked to him and we asked him, do you think that Jesus could ever take away this anger issue in your life? He was doubtful. He was doubtful. So we took some time and we prayed with him and we walked him through and he and Jesus were talking. And as we prayed for him, the Spirit of God fell on him in such a way that for a long, long time, he was just there. And afterwards, he described to me, he says, I don't think you could understand the love of God the way I just felt the love of God. He said, I don't think you can understand that. I said, it was pretty good, wasn't it? He says, yeah. He said, he was trying to describe it to me. But you see, that is what Jesus does for us. When the perfect love of God comes in to a person's life, and you learn from the lover of our souls what that is, you become a different kind of person. There's no room for fear. There's no room for the enemy. There's no room for anger. There's no room for lust. There's no room for all of these things that don't belong in the kingdom of Jesus. But how do we get there? His invitation is very simple. You accept that he can be the one that will train you and teach you not to live there anymore. And his school is such that it is a light and easy burden. Because he does something that no other teacher in the world does. He comes and he gets in the yoke with you. And he teaches us how not to be afraid. He teaches us how not to be angry or lustful or all of those different things that crowd into our world that we've learned from day one. Now, many of us have been learning for far too long the ways of non-kingdom things. I would like to invite us to consider that Jesus can help us to learn his ways, his kingdom. Jesus is offering us the good news that is he himself. So we've been talking about the hard places. And you heard the stories of what Chelsea said, the hard places of Guinea. One of the most difficult and hard places in the world is the human heart. Jesus described it as the place where all the evil in this world emanates from. And Jesus' special invitation to all of us is that he will climb in there with us and teach us not to be those kind of people. He will help us pull that out by its very roots so that we are no longer those kinds of people. People that are afraid of demons that are behind us. People that are angry easily. People that are lustful. People that have evil spirits in them. And he says, I will give you rest for your souls.